There is pleasure in sin for a season. Listen carefully to me. The consequences always roll in. The prodigal son was now empty of friends, empty of money, and empty of options. And this is because sin always promises what it can't deliver.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we are continuing the message entitled, The Lost Son. This is chapter 3 on the series called Lost. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
No story of Jesus is better known than the one we're talking about today, the story of the prodigal son. It is easily Jesus' most famous parable because we all identify with the rebel son who grows tired of his father's house and strikes out on his own to party hardy and see the world. But it doesn't end up the way he'd hoped, and the prodigal begins to long for the home he'd once despised. I believe this message is going to be a powerful blessing to you and might even be a word that brings some folks back home to the father's house. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share part 2 of the message, The Lost Son, from the series Lost.
This boy had something get into his thinking that caused him to come to the conclusion, church is a drag, Christianity is a drag, the father's house is a drag, there's something better for me, and I'm tired of this, and I'm being held back, and I'm not experiencing life like all my friends are. And the more discontented he became with the father's house, the devil reached in, jumped in, and the devil took advantage of it. He sowed into his mind a lie. You are missing out. Ever heard that voice? Here you are, you're seeking God, you're praying every day, you're in the Word, you're going to church, you're crucifying your flesh, you're dying to yourself, you're walking with Jesus, and that little voice that comes and whispers and says, you're missing out. Look at all the fun everybody around you is having. All those people in your workplace. All those people that don't go to church like you do. Look at all the fun they're having. Listen to the stories they're telling. And that little seed gets in. You're missing out being stuck in the Father's house. And the lie finally took root. He decided, I want endless partying and fun. I want a life without rules and restrictions. I want a place where I can go where I want, when I want, and do what I want. Finally, he couldn't stand it any longer. He said, give me what's due me. And as soon as he gave it to him, he packed his stuff and he was out, headed to the far country. Now, when you track him, you see that when he got to the far country, here's the second thing in this story that jumped at me. He just totally gave in wild abandon to sin. He gave totally, I mean, he went in 110%. He gave sinning everything he could. On arriving to the far country, he completely surrendered all of his carnal fantasies. And there was a lot of them. I believe he was thinking, man, I should have done this a long time ago. I'm having the time of my life. This is a blast. I can't believe I sat in the Father's house all that time. I can't believe I didn't do this sooner. I can't believe I sat there and wasted all those years in the Father's house when I could have been having so much fun like I'm having now. He found that he was very quickly surrounded by people who were more than happy to show him around town. And he was amazed at how easy it was to make friends. I can't believe how easy it is to make friends in this far country. They're drawn to me like moths to a light bulb. I got it going on. Jesus said he went on a wild spending spree, and he threw away his entire inheritance on prodigal living. Now, the word prodigal means extremely or extravagantly wasteful. The father had worked for hours to put that money away. Our Heavenly Father is rich beyond dreams. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, who has lots of good and perfect gifts. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, Jesus said. He's wealthy. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's nothing that is not at his disposal. This father had saved up for this boy, laid it aside, thinking of him, thinking of the day that he would die and the son would need some money. And he laid aside this incredible inheritance. And this boy took it. He took it forcefully. He took it disrespectfully. And he went straight to the far country and immediately went on a spending spree and wasted it, threw it away on frivolous nothing. He put the pedal to the metal. He said, I have dreamed about this for years now. Now I'm going to let it all hang out. His actions echo what King Solomon wrote about his own life. King Solomon got very autobiographical in Ecclesiastes. And here's what Solomon said. And this is what this boy had to have said to himself. I said to myself, I should have fun. I should enjoy everything as much as I can. So I decided, said Solomon, to fill my body with wine. I tried this foolishness because I wanted to find a way to be happy. Anything my eyes saw and wanted, I got for myself. Anything. Total abandon to carnal pleasure. So for a while, this prodigal son was having the time of his life. But as I told you, Jesus always told the truth about life and living. He always told the truth. He is my philosopher. He is my teacher. He is my guide. He is my counselor. He is my wisdom. He is my knowledge. He is my understanding. He is my all in all. Jesus teaches me about life and living. And Jesus, in his parable, said very soon he began to experience brutal reversals. The first reversal was his money ran out. One day he opened up his wallet to pay the latest tab, and there was no more green in it. It was all gone. The inheritance the father had lovingly laid aside for him over a number of years was totally gone. His 401k was gone. His future was gone, kaput, wasted, lost. He had nothing now. Nothing to live on for the rest of his life. Reversal number one. When you're in the far country, you always run out of your stuff. The second reversal was the truth about his far country friends. Remember them? They want to run with him, made friends real quickly. Hey, good to have you in the far country. Let's go have a great time. They laughed with him, partied with him, hung with him, showed him all the best bars and clubs. But they always manage to leave the bill with him. Oop, I forgot my wallet. I'm sorry. You ever eaten with people like that? I had a millionaire friend one time. He was a millionaire. But every time we went to eat, he said, you know, golly, I left my wallet at home. I got to thinking, that's how he became a millionaire. Never did he have his wallet with him. Oh, I forgot my wallet, prodigal. But you pay the bill. You're rich. Your father blessed you. You know, it's funny, when you go to the far country, you go on residue from the father's blessings. You've got some residue with you. You've got what the father gave you. You take it with you, and then you spend it and squander it and waste it in the far country. The truth of his so-called friends smacked him like a bad dream. They've been using him. You ever feel like that? Do you ever have that feeling? Do you ever wake up and realize those people that were slapping you on the back and having a good old time with you and running with you and helping you spend your money, that you wake up one day and when the money's gone and the fun is over, they're gone too? Do you ever experience that? That's far country friends. Far country friends invariably prove to be fair weather friends who love not you, but yours. His friends had disappeared once the money was gone. He texted them, but they didn't answer. They turned off their phones when he called. You know why? Because no more money. We can't get anything else from you. We're out hunting for our next victim, our next sucker. The truth hit him like a punch in the gut. He'd been running with takers and fakers and users and losers and fair weather phonies that vanished. We had nothing left to give them. And that's the world. The world's a mirage. You ever see one of those movies where you got somebody lost in the desert and they're dying of thirst, and all of a sudden out there over yonder, they see a pool of water. And they start scrambling and pushing and running to dive into that water and get a drink. But when they get there, they realize it was just a mirage. It was fake. It was phony. It was an illusion. And that's the world. The world's a great, big, fat mirage. You think you're going to get a drink of water. You think you're going to get it fulfilled. You think you're going to have a good time. You think you're going to find your answers. But when you get there, you find nothing but hot sand sifting through your trembling fingers because there really wasn't anything there. It was a mirage. There's nothing in that world. I'm glad to tell you, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. The world passes away, and the lust thereof. Can I say it one more time? The world is passing away in all of its lust, but he that does the will of God abides forever. And as if these two reversals weren't enough, here comes another one. Jesus said when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. The once appealing far country has now become a place of hunger and need and a vicious fight for survival. The glitter is gone. The glistening is gone. The sparkle is gone. The attractiveness of it is gone. Now he's just trying to get by day by day. He takes any job he can find. And for a Jewish young man to get a job with a pig farmer and get into the pig slop and eat pig food was the lowest of the low of the low. He's living on yesterday's McDonald's. And this is the way it always happens when we leave the Father's house and head to the far country. That's what always happens. We find ourselves, listen, where we never thought we'd be, consuming what we never thought we'd eat, enslaved to things we never thought we'd serve. Come on, everybody. I'm talking real today. You leave the Father's house and you go out in the far country. I'm going to go have a good time. And for a while, there is pleasure in sin for a season. Listen carefully to me. The consequences always roll in, and they spell empty. How do you spell empty? Let me tell you how I spell empty, the far country. That's how I spell empty. What is empty? The far country. The far country is empty. The prodigal son was now empty of friends, empty of money, and empty of options. And this is because sin always promises what it can't deliver. Always. Can I tell you the truth about sin? Here's the truth about sin. Now, you'll notice that lurking behind every temptation, there is a promise. Have you ever thought about it? Well, I'm really tempted, Pastor Jeff. I'm tempted to go here, go there, do this, do that, look at this, look at that. But listen to me. Behind every temptation, here's the way they work. There is a promise. If you do this, you're going to have fun. You're going to be fulfilled. You're going to have joy. You're going to find yourself. You're going to find an answer. You're going to be happy. You're going to be content. You're going to have your dreams fulfilled. If you do this, behind every temptation, there is a promise. There is a promise that it's going to do something for you. If there was no such promise, there would be no temptation. You'll be content. You'll have joy. You'll enjoy life once and for all. Satan went so far as to tell Eve, here was his promise, if you eat of the forbidden fruit, you're going to be like God. That's the promise. She said, well, I want to be like God. He said, because God's cheating you. God's holding back from you. You're not enjoying everything that you could. Same old lie, same old lie. Satan has nothing new in his bag of tricks. God's holding back from you. You're missing out. You're not enjoying what you could. God lied to you about that tree. God lied to you about running with those people. God lied to you about those drugs. God lied to you about that particular thing that is being offered to you, God lied. Eat of it. And when she did, she didn't become like God. She became less like God. The lure of the far country not only lies to you, puts a false promise in it, but it appeals to your rights. It whispers, you deserve this. Others don't understand you, but people in the far country do understand you. And you deserve a break. You deserve this. You deserve to go here, go there, experience this or that. You deserve it. You've worked hard. You've tried. All these things are exactly what was whispered in the prodigal son's head before he ever left. But Jesus' parable reveals that sin's pleasures only last for a season. Can I tell you the truth about sin? The Bible says that Moses chose rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures. Everybody say fleeting pleasures. Fleeting pleasures of sin. Another version puts it this way. He chose not to enjoy the pleasures of sin that last such a short time. There's pleasure in sin for a season, for a short time, for a brief hour. And that's what's so deceptive about it, because you say when you give into it, you say, what I'm experiencing is not what they told me I would experience at all. I'm having a blast. But the consequences haven't rolled in yet. This son, if you had gone up to him the first couple of weeks in the far country, he would have said, man, I should have done this long ago. But if you went to him at the end, he would have said, biggest mistake of my whole life. Prodigal son had his fun, but now he's beset and battered with brutal reversals. But I'm so glad to say that the story ends on a high note. The prodigal son's return home. The Bible says he came to himself. Now, that's a phrase that talks about coming out of craziness, coming out of nuttiness, coming out of lunacy. He said he came to himself. That means he came from insanity to sanity, from craziness to soundness. Now he's talking to himself real. He wakes up one day and he says, essentially, what in the world am I doing? How many of you have ever done that? Come on. What am I doing? Come on, tell the truth. What am I doing? He said, what am I doing? What am I doing? I had it made in my father's house. And now look at me. I'm eating pigs' food, sleeping with pigs, living in the mud, and even my father's servants are better off than me right now. I have been the devil's fool. And he came to himself. He said, okay, I better put together a speech. I'm going home. I'm going home. I better put together a repentance speech. So he starts going over this speech, rehearsing his speech, because he just knows his dad is going to let him have it if he has anything to do with him at all. And he heads back down the same road that has brought him here. And as he's walking down this road, the Bible says, this is what gets me about this story, while he was still a long way off, when he could barely, he's a little speck on the horizon. That tells me the father was looking for him. The father was pining for him. The father was longing for him. The father was broken over him. The father couldn't wait. The father was longing for his son to come home. And when he sees him coming, hey, the father ran towards him. He didn't even make it halfway, and the father ran towards him. As soon as the father knew, my son has turned, he ran towards him. The son sees him coming. He's probably thinking, uh-oh, he's so mad, he's coming towards me. It says the father gets to him, and the father, I love this, filled with love, filled with compassion, ran to him, embraced him, kissed him, wept over him. All the boy's fears of how his father was going to react to him proved false. He didn't yell at him. He didn't reject him. He didn't turn away from him. He didn't berate him. He just said, son, I've waited so long for you to come back. I haven't been able to sleep at night. I've thought about you day and night. I've looked down this road every single day until the sun set and I couldn't see down the road anymore. I long for you to return. It broke my heart. I never quit loving you. You never stopped being my son. You never stopped being my child. And now that you have returned home, all I can do is rejoice and celebrate. Son, you have made my day. You have made my year. You have made my life, because I will never stop loving you. And that is the Father's love towards every child of God that strays. Come on, everybody. And he embraced him, took him home, and threw a great big celebration party for the son who had returned. So let me give you this parable in a nutshell, just three quick things. The intent of Jesus' parable here is to once again illustrate how we all tend to stray like sheep, how straying never pays, and the Heavenly Father is longing for us to return, and his mercy when we do. That's the parable. How many of you are glad the Father loves you more than you could ever imagine? Come on, everybody. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise? Come on. Shout out to God. He's a good God. He's a good God. I think what touches me most about it is the Father knew when he turned and ran to him. All it takes is one prayer. Father, here I am, eating what I thought I'd never eat, serving what I thought I'd never serve, going places I thought I'd never go, and I'm turning and I'm coming home. And when you say that, Jesus told us what the Father does. The angels rejoice, and the Father runs and embraces and forgives and loves and restores. You're my son. You're my daughter that never stopped. Amen.
Jeff, that is a powerful story. It doesn't matter how many times I've heard that, it still speaks to me and it really does move my heart. Now, what would you say to somebody listening right now who might be a prodigal themselves? They've thought about coming back to their faith and walk with Christ, but they're conflicted, maybe in the same way the prodigal son was. They wonder if God will forgive them. Will he take them back? Now, if they come back, will they be able to walk the walk? What would you say to them?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Dave. First, I would say yes to each of those questions. He will forgive you. He will take you back. And yes, you will be able to walk the walk the same way all of us do, by the strength God himself provides through his indwelling spirit. But let's remember that as soon as the prodigal made a few tentative steps towards the Father ran towards him. And the same way, the Lord will help you, strengthen you, and heal your backsliding, and he will meet you more than halfway.
Thanks, Pastor. Those are encouraging words. Now, what would you give as maybe a first step for somebody who wants to return to the Lord?
Well, the very first step is repentance. And don't let that word scare you or turn you off. Repentance is simply coming into agreement with God that we have in fact sinned and we need his forgiveness. Repentance is like a beautiful silver key that unlocks the door to our own restoration. Without repentance, there's no return home. Once repentance takes place, you can expect to experience, as did the prodigal, the arms of the Father embracing you.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I'm sure those are words a lot of people really wanted to hear. Now, the prayers of all of us here at Life Talk is that many will heed these words and return home to the Father's embrace. And that's it for this time. Join us for our next Life Talk broadcast, where Pastor Jeff is talking about the prodigal son's older brother, who didn't take his homecoming very well at all. I'm Dave Erickson. You have a blessed day.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. We are so glad to have you here with us today. Before you touch that dial, we would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Every time God uses the ministry of Life Talk to transform a life by the power of Jesus Christ, it's because somebody like you gave financially and helped make it possible. Life Talk's daily program is listener supported. So if you're interested in supporting this ministry, call us toll free at 877-884-2484. 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. And there you can make a donation to empower Life Talk to continue transforming lives with the power of the gospel. Once again, visit us online at lifetalkradio.us or call us toll free at 877-884-3111 and give your best gift today. Coming up on Life Talk.
You've got to see people the way God sees people. If you see them with prejudice, if you see them with a wrong attitude, you'll never care about reaching them. How many of you are glad somebody looked at you through the eyes of Jesus and reached you? Come on, everybody.
That's next in a brand new message we're calling The Lost Brother, in this series entitled Lost. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you here again on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.